This evening we're going to be looking at a topic of faithfulness or fervor for God. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that's our main passage this evening. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, and then we will, actually 1 through 6, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, in us insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would work your word into us, and that just as Titus was to finish the work of this understanding, this fervor for you in the church at Corinth, so we might also have built into us this fire to serve you, to love you with our whole hearts. And Lord, we ask that you would remove those things that are stumbling blocks to us, and remove from our eyes the blindness towards others' needs, and remove from us the hardness of heart that would prevent us from following you. And Lord, we ask these things that your church would stand united, strong, and without spot or blemish. We thank you. Amen. We have here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in these first five or six verses, a description of the churches there in Macedonia who had a heart for God. They were faithful towards God, and they gave of themselves. Often in this passage, we focus only upon the monetary thing, where it is not only that they gave to take care of, to minister to the saints, as it says there in verse 4, this gift or offering that they gave up to benefit other Christians who were in poverty, and we may make a big deal about how much or to what extent they gave. But really, this passage is talking not about the financial thing as much as it is their heart attitude. He will get to the financial thing later about how the Corinthian church needed to grow in this giving side of things. But what he starts with is their heart. He says, look, we have an example of the churches in Macedonia, and they showed a heart towards God. We all have been given from God much. We have been given much from God. If you think about it, you know Jesus as Savior. You know that Jesus gave his life for you. We know that he has given to you and offered to you salvation freely. No purchase price necessary for you. You don't have to save up $100,000 or a 5% down payment or anything like that in order to purchase salvation. God has given us much. But even more than that, God has given us time and talents. He has given us our resources, our money, but also our things. He has given us all of this, and it is given to us as a stewardship. So for Christians, you might look at it this way: faithfulness towards God is a heart attitude, or stewardship of our life is to use our life for God as he should be served. He should be served. we are stewards. Now, stewardship is not a word that we use all that often anymore. Stewards were ones who were in charge of a household or of a business. They were the managers, if you will. They were ones who took care of something that wasn't their own. It's one thing to have a business of your own and to be spending your own money and be very careful about it. Now, those of you who have your own business, you know the weight of that responsibility. If I make this decision and I spend this money, it's going to have this impact on me. And the weight of that, and you're very careful with your money, but someone who is a steward, if they are a poor steward, it is very, very, very horrible for the owners. Because a poor steward will waste because they don't care. They won't take the time and effort to make sure that it is used appropriately. God has given to us a life as Christians, and we can either spend that for Him or we can waste away the talents and the riches and our time and use it for things other than what God would be pleased with. Again, this boils down to where your heart is. Where is your heart? If your heart is set on pleasing yourself, then you will have one set of priorities. But if you are like the churches of Macedonia, and if you would learn the lesson that Titus was bringing to the church in Corinth to finish this work of grace in their heart as well, you can abound. I want us to note there in verse 2 that there is an abounding. Read it with me. How that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. There was an abounding, that is, growth and an abundance. Growth and an abundance that they were able to set aside to give for others. They did that, and that abounding came from God. God allowed them to abound, and here we are not preaching a prosperity gospel. Okay, don't get me wrong, we're not going there at all. I don't think that if you live a Christian life, you're going to be able to say, I have great joy and I have great riches and I am well set and God has blessed me because I am a Christian. No, we can say because of your hard work, because of your wisdom and carefulness in tending the things you have, you may attain riches. But if you would live for God, you can abound unto liberality here. This is the ability to help others. The ability to give greatly. What's specifically in view here is money, but of your time and of your efforts as well. These are all areas in which we can give liberally to God. Maybe we should approach it another way. Not only is there abounding, but also there is a great opportunity. The opportunity. There is a bunch of churches in Macedonia, and they are going to give through Paul to others. Notice in verse 4 that they are taking upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Ministering to the saints. It wasn't a limited time thing or a once-off thing. They were committed to trying to bless and minister the saints of God. That was their whole objective. I don't know if you've been around. Maybe you've traveled, seen other churches. There's always needs. And even outside of the churches, how many people are struggling and doing it tough, whether financially or spiritually. Maybe there's some who are doing well off in every way except for in their health. And they are struggling. And they need service to them to show the love of God. here, the churches of Macedonia, they are taking on this ministry, and it's an open-ended ministry. There are needs everywhere. There's no lack of needs. In this church, we have a number of teachers who do Sunday school. We have a number of different ones who teach at youth group, who lead the singing. God's blessed. But there's always needs. There's more that can be done if we would have more who would give of their time and effort. For those of you who already are giving out of this heart that the Macedonian church has, I'm not calling on you to dig deeper and give more. I know what it's like to be called upon every year to increase your set of roles in the church, to do more. There is a limit to what we can accomplish. If you want a good reminder from this morning's message, the lady who poured the ointment on Jesus' head, she gave what she could. She did what she could. That's what we need to be focused on, making sure we're giving what we can. But it starts from this heart. It starts from this heart that is willing to meet needs that are beyond our capability. And it starts with this heart of great liberality towards others. Stewardship of our time is not about perfecting ourselves so that we can look better, be better, but so that we can help others more. Stewardship of our talents is not making ourselves to be the ones looked up to as the ones who can do the best job, and therefore we are put on a pedestal above others. Stewardship of our talents gives us the opportunity to serve more people more efficiently. And stewardship in our money gives us the opportunity to bless others who are in need and to forward the ministry of God's church. We can do more if we give of ourselves. Again, we're going to now zoom in here on verse 5. This they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for you and me. And I don't know about you, but when I went in baptism into the water and then came out, I identified with him who died for me. And I said, he is me. That's bad English, but you get the picture. He is me. Because he lives, I live. Because he died, my sin is dead to me. I am dead to my sin. My sin is dead to me. It no longer has power over me. Jesus is my Lord. If I live any longer, it is to live for him. Paul gives us those complicated verses about, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. They gave of their own selves to the Lord. This is the attitude, the heart that you need. It is no good to set aside money and throw it at the church or throw it at projects or throw it at things unless you have given from your heart. If it is your heart that is given to the Lord, and then you are desiring to forward God's will through the things that you are giving, whether it's your time, your money, or your talents, then it will be abounding. I want us to notice that the abounding thing we mentioned from verse 2 is repeated in verse 7. It says, therefore, as ye abound in, and then he lists a number of things that they abound in. At the end of the verse, he says, that I pray you that ye abound in this grace also, a grace of love that is giving of oneself to God. We need to give ourselves. It's not about amounts. It's not about percentages. It's not about reaching a target. It's about giving your heart. If God owns all of me, if He is the one who has provided me with all of my time, all of my effort, my talents, my resources, financial and otherwise, then how can I do anything less than give to Him out of that? He has given that to me. If I'm going to be a good steward, I am going to use it the way He would like. We're going to go now to a couple of different verses and get a few little challenges in here as well on different aspects of our life. We're going to start with Luke chapter 16. We actually have an illustration from Jesus regarding some stewards. The unjust steward is in picture here. Luke chapter 16, we'll read the first 13 verses. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and that same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou, my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make of yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, in this illustration that Jesus is giving with the unjust steward, we have a lot of teaching. I'm not sure this might even be the rapid, super condensed version of this teaching that he has here, but the conclusion is the same. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That is, if your heart is not given to God, then it doesn't matter how much you supposedly have done for Him. It will never measure up. But if your heart is for Him, even if you only have two mites, if it's all His, then you will be willing to give all of it. And if all you have is one talent, maybe some of you know of different talents that people have. I have one sister who was very small when she was younger. She was very flexible. And she could fit herself through a hanger. And it was her talent. And she would show it off to everyone. Of course, now she can't do that anymore. Children and such like, it's a problem. But that was her talent, and she would show it off. It was fun to see. But it wasn't her only talent. I'll just put that out for you. She had a lot of other talents, my sister. Okay, but that was her talent. Maybe that's your only talent. You got one talent, and it's not the biggest deal. But do you use it for God? Have you given that over to God? Or do you selfishly hold on to it for yourself? It's a way for you to make friends or to impress someone that you can receive the glory and the blessing. Your money, You've worked hard for it. It's yours. But do you serve money? Is it a goal that you're always looking for, just this much more and this much more, and that will satisfy me? Or are you purposing to serve God? God gives us many opportunities, and we're told in the Bible that if we have work to do, we should do it with our might. And if we find our hand on the plow, we should plow. Don't turn back. Don't give up. Work hard. It's not about a particular set of work. It is about doing what we do to serve God. Do it with our might. Do it well. We need to be good stewards of God. We need to be overseers of our life and of the things that He gives us so that we can stand and receive that well done, thou good and faithful servant. We're going to turn now to Exodus chapter 31. And we have an Old Testament example here of this kind of heart, this kind of giving heart in Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31, and we'll just read the first six verses of this chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And he continues on. Oh, there. And I behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamash, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. And what we're going to focus in here is that God put in the hearts of these who were willing wisdom, that they could do all of these spectacular works. This wasn't a thing that they developed over time and slowly improved, but the temple was put together because of people who were yielded to God in their heart. He used their talents then to do something great. As Christians, we have opportunity to serve God, not just with the talents that we have built up of our own effort, but also out of the talents of understanding that God has given us that we didn't have to work for. God gives us all manner of opportunities and abilities, and He gives us these things so that we can use them. The church will not succeed if its membership is not faithful stewards of the understanding, the wisdom, the talents that God has given it. Each member has different talents. And if you withhold your talents from the church, it will not flourish. Perhaps your talent is for seeing with a clear eye problems that are coming in the future. Perhaps God has given you a talent for noticing those little details. You know, the ones that us guys often miss. Walk into a room, what's the first thing that someone notices? And you've got a keen eye for that particular detail. This is something that God has given you. And if you withhold and just say, oh, the church is horrible, they never take care of this detail, or you think, oh, if only the church would do that, it would be better, instead of saying, I've given to God my talents, my keen eye to see that detail that needs fixing, I'm going to jump in and do it. That problem that looks like it's coming down the track, I'm going to bring that to the attention of those in leadership to make sure that they don't fall into a pit unawares. I'm not here talking about being critical, but again, that we would apply ourselves. Perhaps you have the opportunity and the ability to encourage those who are struggling in a particular way. Maybe it's with long-term illness, and you know what that is like. And you say, I know what's going on in your life. I've been there. I've seen it. Or perhaps it is with a particular type of loss. Someone who has lost a child, or who has lost a loved one. You can come alongside and say, I know what you've been through. I've been there too. Here's how God can help. You can use your talents, your time, and your specific abilities to serve God. Or you can come and wait for everyone to serve you at church. And I hope you do get something out of the messages. I hope you don't just sit there and say, okay, we got to endure this so we can enjoy the fellowship afterwards or the handball out the front. I know that's what the kids are waiting for. Who's got the handball this week? I know that's what you're all waiting for, but hopefully you also are encouraged and strengthened in the Word of God at church. And hopefully you challenge one another to be more in love with God. You need to serve God. You need to be stewards of your time, of your talents, and of your monies, because they are God's, and He gave them to you. They're His. In this example in Exodus, God didn't say to Moses, I want you to put pressure on so-and-so to start doing this work of building the temple. I want you to set up a training program so that they can become proficient in working with gold, silver, brass, carving stones, etc. No, God told Moses, there's a guy, and I've put my hand on him to be able to do these particular things. I've given him wisdom supernaturally, and he has a willing heart. He's going to do it. Put him in charge. That is the kind of work that God does for the church as well. He puts in our hearts and in our minds the abilities, but He does not force our hand. He doesn't put us under pressure and say, you've got to do it or else. God wants us to be willing sacrifices. Faithful in the little things as well as the big things. You may say, well, I don't have much that I can do. I don't have any talents. I don't have much money. I don't have much time that God can use. I'm busy, or I'm a child. Susanna, put your feet down. Sit properly. Thank you. I'm a child. I can't do those things. But you can be faithful in the little things that you have as your responsibilities. What are some of those little things? Well, all of us have some time that's our own. All of us. How do we use it? Do we give a small portion of that to God to read our Bibles, work on our memory verses, sing praises to God? Or do we waste that time with things that would bring us pleasure, entertainment? Are there other little areas that we can be faithful? When you attend church, do you attend out of a heart of love for God, or is it, I'm being forced to, and so I'm here, and I'm going to be faithful, but I'm not going to like it. God's not pleased with that. Faithfulness is coming to God, having given our whole hearts to Him, and therefore being faithful. Attendance is not about ticking the box we were here, but about wanting to serve God, and if that means attending church and not understanding every word that comes out of the pastor's mouth, then I'm going to be there. I'm going to learn as much as I can. If I can get one thing out of it, if I can learn one little bit, I'm good. I'll give you one example from when I was a child. I would sit in the service. We weren't allowed to sit behind my parents. And unfortunately, that meant sitting way up the front because they sat in the third row. So it meant sitting way up the front. If I wanted to sit with my friends, they had to join me up the front. That was interesting. So there we were, me and my three friends all sitting. Yes, I only had three friends. All right. Me and my three friends sitting up the front, and we're in the second row, and we're following along as the pastor's going to from point to point. But not being as smart as perhaps other people, I would generally only get maybe one point into any message. Because as soon as he went to a second passage, I wouldn't be able to keep up mentally to keep on track with where he was at. Admittedly, I was a lot younger back then. That was before I had finished high school, etc. So we'd get one point in. But I would be sitting on that one chapter where he was, that first point, and I would try and understand it, to learn it, to read over that passage and see, does this actually fit? Did he just pull a verse at random, or is this what the chapter is actually speaking about? And he would, the pastor would keep on preaching, and I would be focusing to try and make sure I understood that first point. Now, children, hopefully you can do better than that. You know, hopefully you don't sit on the very first passage and not understand that one and have to struggle and struggle and struggle. But I was determined that if I was going to sit in church on a Sunday, I was going to learn something. I was determined that regardless of how interesting the things behind the pastor were, or the stuff out the windows, or they had stained glass windows, or the fancy stained glass windows, or anything like that, no matter how interesting any of that was, or how many notes or pictures my friend might be drawing next to me, yet still I knew I had to get something out of that message. And it was up to me to learn and to understand it. It was up to me. I was going to be faithful with that much time, giving it to God. And so if I couldn't catch the whole message, if I got at least one point, I knew I was winning. Do you come to church expecting to get something out of it? Or is it fake? Are you a steward of your time and you come saying, God, I need to know. I need to know something. Help me to learn from you. That's the kind of stewardship we have to have. We need to give our hearts to God. We find that God will reward those who serve Him with their whole heart. In 2 Timothy, we might just turn there. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. As we come to a conclusion here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read verses 6 to 8. Paul is speaking here. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Your effort and your diligence and your faithfulness to finish this course, to fight the good faith, these things will be judged by the righteous judge, and there will be laid up for us reward. That is an amazing prospect. If we are faithful, God will judge. It's not going outside of His notice. Perhaps you take it on yourself to make sure that the hymn books are all lined up neatly. I don't know. Some little thing in the church. God notices. And He is pleased if you have done it from a heart that is full of service towards Him, and not just to be seen of men. And He will give you your reward. So the question comes, will you use the things that God has given you to serve Him, or to serve yourself? Will you use your time, talents, money, etc., to love and to serve God? Have you given yourself to God? Or have you given your time to be wasted, your life to be worthless and empty? Those are your two options. Serve mammon, serve yourself, or serve God. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is powerful. Father, we ask that you would help us to each assess our lives, whether we have truly offered ourselves and our hearts to you, or whether we have kept back part for ourselves, whether we have prioritized that which would please us rather than what would please you. Father, we ask that you would work in our hearts still to prioritize you more through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.